from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
The beer is cold and the wings are hot. You're in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950 The Fan, Rochester.
We continue live from St. John Fisher University. It's a sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. Buffalo Bills training camp means we get to see our buddy Ryan Talbot in person here on the set with us here at the Pelicano Pavilion. Ryan, we can talk to Matt. We got Perino bombed first hour of our show. I don't know if you knew this or not. The entire Perino clan came walking by. I wave hello to the entire Perino family. And a loud shout comes out from, and appropriately, a shout comes out from the Perino clan. We love Danger and Battaglia. We got Perino bump. Completely distracted Gino and I. We lost all of our professionalism and credibility in that moment.
I was watching Matt, though, throw on the grass field. He's got a nice arm.
You know, he said he underthrew one in the end zone to his son, but I think he probably undersells himself. Yeah, it was great to see the whole Perino clan here today, and always a great time coming up here, speaking with you guys. I've always said my favorite radio show to come on, and I truly mean that.
Well, Ryan, we appreciate that, and you've always given us so much time through the course of the years, and the years that we've been doing this here at St. John Fisher as well. Before we talk Bills, just want to get your reaction on what Miami did this afternoon.
You know, I guess the going rate's the going rate these days with these quarterback contracts, but you look at it, and I saw a great tweet from Adam Schefter. In Dan Marino's entire career, he made $52 million. Tua will make more than that on average every single season at 53.1. So, and again, quarterback pay was one thing many years ago. This is the right. Josh Allen's not even in the top 10 anymore for that average, you know, per year. You have Mahomes now at number 10, tied with Kirk Cousins. There's a lot of decent quarterbacks, young quarterbacks that I think teams are hoping will ascend to that superstar status, but it just shows you how grossly underpaid a guy like Josh Allen is compared to some of these deals.
Yeah, if you did the rankings right now and you tweeted out the graphic, he would be 12th. And you're not even considering, all right, well, next on deck is Jordan Love, and next on deck is Dak Prescott. Who knows where their stories go, but my question is about Allen. Is this a storyline in next year? Is it in the near future? You think this is going to be something that the Bills will sit down and want to do right to their quarterback?
Eventually, I'm sure the team will. I don't see Josh Allen, though, pushing the matter necessarily. You look at what he does every year, year in, year out. He works to lower that number for cap purposes. He's due something of, I believe, a cap hit of about $60 million next year. So he'll rework that. He'll do what's best for this team. I believe him when he says his goal is to help this team win a Super Bowl. So while he's not in the top 10, $40-plus million is still a lot of money on a yearly basis, and I'm sure when it's right, the team will reward him for what he's done for this team.
And imagine what that looks like if he has the kind of season we all hope he could have, and he's come close to fulfilling that destiny here, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know when the NFL will do it or if they'll ever do it, but I would like to see them maybe move to something where quarterbacks get paid, you know, whatever these astronomical amounts are, but then you have a separate salary cap for the other 52 players that you can work with and manage, because you do see how your teams get handcuffed once you give out a big contract like that. And maybe it's not just exclusive to the quarterback position, because a Justin Jefferson makes big money, and there's going to be defensive players that are going to break the bank like a Micah Parsons in due time. Maybe you can designate a player kind of into that space where it doesn't count against the cap, and then you have the rest to allocate elsewhere.
Ryan Talbot, NewYorkUpstate.com, joining us. You were here for the Bobby Babich press conference. You watched practice. I guess practice, your general takeaways there from the third practice here at Fisher.
Yeah, third practice here at Fisher. I was keeping a close eye on Matt Milano today. I like what Bobby Babich said. Eventually, Matt Milano will be Matt Milano. You still see him kind of working with the coming back from that injury. I saw him between reps on the side field, kind of jumping up, testing out the leg. I think there's a mental and a physical aspect to that that players go through. Babich did a great job shedding some light on the safety competition this morning. You saw Cole Bishop get his turn in the rotation with the starters. He said Bishop has a long way to go in terms of learning the playbook. It's not an easy playbook to learn for a young defensive player, especially at a key position like safety, where the Bills have been spoiled the last few years with Jordan Poyer and Micah Hyde. They haven't had to worry about that. So now you have a rookie in the mix. You have Mike Edwards, who he talked glowingly about as just being a football player. There's a lot of fun in terms of watching those few competitions that the Bills have. And then, you know, 7-on-7, you saw the offense pick up where they've been the last few days. And on the end of the practice, you finally saw Josh Allen throw some interceptions. I know there were three of them. I think only two of them would have counted in a real game. There was one blatant penalty against Christian Benford on one of them.
Yeah. Let's stay on the defensive side of the ball and that defensive secondary, because the name that we kind of don't talk about, he's just slid into that role, is Taylor Rapp. Taylor Rapp is essentially the guy that is going to be with, like, we're not hearing about Taylor Rapp getting reps with the second team. He's been out there. He's been the constant with the first team. So how has he progressed from last year, his first year here, and some time that he spent where you're like, oh boy, I don't know about this guy. I mean, like, some questionable plays, yeah, and certainly some timely penalties last year. Do you think Rapp's game has evolved to a point where, I mean, must be evolving to a point where Sean McDermott trusts that Taylor Rapp can be that back-end quarterback of the defense?
Yeah, he's the perfect example of how long it probably takes someone to get comfortable with this defense, because you're right. Last year, when he was getting reps early on in the season, he was making mistakes, he was out of place, penalties. He's a very physical player, and sometimes that leads to penalties. As the year went on, and it was a secondary role for the most part, you saw him get more comfortable in the scheme. And while Pro Football Focus grades are not the be-all, end-all, it's no coincidence that three of his highest four grades came in the last 3 weeks of the regular season, when he was able to digest that playbook, knew his responsibilities, knew his role, came up with a huge interception in Week 18 to seal the division for the Bills. So when the Bills made it a priority to re-sign him in the offseason, that kind of told you a lot in terms of what they viewed about him as a player in this scheme, in this system. And while it's been an interchangeable role at that safety position, it does look like Rapp's going to hold down the fort on one of them this season.
Ryan, I want to ask you about and go into depth about a player you and Matt were talking about today on the pod, that being Greg Rousseau. Greg Rousseau, a player, a first-rounder. You're hoping for more. It's not like he's been bad, but can he take that next step? What were your observations of Rousseau today?
Yeah, speed and power. You saw it on display today. I saw him in an individual rep against Spencer Brown late in practice, and he used his speed and power to get around Brown pretty easily. And Brown was a great player last year. Brown's looked good at camp so far. It's the flashes. Matt noted that earlier in the practice, he had a rep against Deion Dawkins, that he got around Dawkins. And when you look at the way that Dawkins has played the last few years, pretty much at an all-pro level, that's no small feat. So Greg Rousseau, the Bills are hoping he takes an Ed Oliver-like leap this year. He's had some bad luck with injuries that, to his credit, he's played through, foot, ankle-type deals. This is the year, though, that he needs to kind of put it together so he can get a monster extension in Buffalo, stay here long-term. Still a young kid, though. People forget when they drafted him, he was one of the youngest players in that draft class. I believe 23 right now, turns 24 this year. So still a lot in terms of what he can grow into. We've seen him become a really solid run defender, but now you want to see him in terms of the pass rush game take it to the next level.
What about Vaughn? How does he look to you so far?
Vaughn looks like a much more confident player than where he was last year. And I think when you have a brace on, when you're coming back from a serious injury like that, there's the actual physical play. There's the psychological part of it. He said he put on a brave face last year saying he wanted to play from week one on. He was put on the pup. He never looked like the Von Miller that the Bills saw in those first 8 weeks of his first year, though, where he was getting almost a sack per game. This spring and this summer, without the brace on, I do see some more of that bend, that speed around the edge. So, you know, I don't think we'll necessarily ever see double-digit Von Miller sack seasons again, necessarily. But if he can be a 6-8 sack player for this team, that's going to go a long way.
Yeah, the depth on the defensive line, that is the one thing, Ryan, I don't know about. I want to learn more about, because we know the names. You have Dwayne Carter, who everybody is, the third-round pick. Smoot getting a few reps with the first team, playing in Jacksonville last year. You have other players. Austin Johnson, we talked to Daquan Jones, how he got recruited over, basically, from the Chargers. Is that a tough position when you're doing the 53-man mock, in your opinion, or do you kind of have an idea who's going to be the first and second string right now?
No, I think edge and defensive tackle are both tough spots to evaluate, because you know the first three at edge, Vaughn, Rousseau, Epinesa. But then at four, now I would say it's probably Smoot in the driver's seat. And to his credit, he's made some plays for the Bills. He had a nice move today, getting by Osiris Torrance. Smoot came over from Jacksonville. He had an Achilles injury late in 2022, late December. So he didn't play well last season. One sack in Jacksonville. He looks like he's a year removed from an injury like that. And Bobby Babich raved about him this morning. Old school edge to his game. He loves the way that he plays. Can't wait to see him when his pads come on. And when you're already putting him in with the first team, that tells you they have a lot of confidence in this guy. After that, though, it's a crapshoot. Javon Solomon, a rookie, comes in from Troy. A lot of stats, a lot of sacks there, but hasn't necessarily had much success yet at training camp. You have Kingsley Jonathan trying to make a mark. They signed Casey Tuhill as a free agent. A lot of guys maybe fighting for one spot there behind Smoot. And then defensive tackle, they could only carry four of them, the four that you've already mentioned.
You know, we talk about multiple guys fighting for one spot on the offensive side of the ball. I think it's the position that most eyes are watching, and that's wide receiver. And you know what? Over the course of the spring, we heard a lot about Mac Hollins. Mac Hollins is vocal. Mac Hollins is showing up in off-season program. I don't want to believe it until I saw it with my own eyes. Mac Hollins is real. Feels like Mac Hollins is on this team, which would leave you, if you consider MVS as a lock, one real spot if they keep six. And plenty of guys going for that one spot. Do you get the sense that there's somebody who has an inside track? I have my answer. I want to hear yours.
Yeah, my answer would be Chase Claypool right now. And it's based on his actual production on an NFL team in his career. And, I know it's been a few years removed from that. But his first 2 years in Pittsburgh, he put up quality stats. And then he played a year with Ben Roethlisberger where Roethlisberger's arm wasn't right and his stats drop significantly. He goes to the Bears in a trade. The quarterback play there was a mess in Miami. He was acquired in October. So it's been a rough few spots for him and stops for him. But now in Buffalo, he has a great quarterback in Josh Allen. I look at it as the Bills say, if we lose one of our top three to an injury, you have Mac Hollins, you have MVS, you want someone that's actually produced at the NFL level to be able to come in and play and know their responsibility, their role. Claypool's saying and doing all the right things. I think they would love a Justin Shorter to step up, a Tyrell Shavers, a KJ Hamler. But until they do, you got to go with the guy that's produced.
I'm going to say KJ Hamler, and hear me out, because I think when you watch these wide receivers, you have two very specific types on this roster right now. The size guys, like a Claypool, like a Justin Shorter, like a Keon Coleman, and certainly a Mac Hollins. And then you have the smaller possession guys, the separation guys, the speed guys, your Khalil Shakirs, your you're certainly your Curtis Samuels, your KJ Hamlers. I'm wondering if they want to split that evenly. Like, do you want three and three, like three size guys and three? Because if you only want three size guys, then I'd see Claypool as the guy that's probably ending up on the practice squad. Plus, with KJ, you've got the versatility of special teams. He could be your returner as well. We know how much they love. Maybe I'm biased because we talked to him yesterday, and it's hard not to root for the guy, given everything he's been through.
See, what I have, if I'm doing it how they structured it last year, KJ Hamler is an upgrade over Andy Isabella. And Isabella is still here, by the way, right. But they kept him around, and the practice squad being something. But your thoughts on Danger's point there, because I think it's a valid one that there's two different groups here at wide receiver.
Yeah, absolutely. And what's funny is going into the draft, going into free agency, we heard Brandon Bean talk about getting Josh Allen a receiver with speed. And then they went the entire opposite direction with Keon Coleman and some of these other guys that they brought in. Hamler has that speed. He was a 4.27 40-yard dash guy at Penn State going into the league. He has just had some of the worst luck with injuries. And maybe this is where he comes to Buffalo. They have a great training staff. They have a state-of-the-art, you name it, in terms of recovery. Maybe he can stay healthy here. And if that's the case, he can make this roster because of his speed for the wide receiver game. And then, as you mentioned, special teams. New kickoff rule this year. They might value that speed. Get the ball in his hands. He can take off as soon as he catches it. And then those guys are just starting to move. So he could use that speed to work to his advantage. Punt returner as well. So the Bills value special teams play. When it comes to that last wide receiver spot, that might be what the final determination.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Ryan, I know it's early in camp. We haven't seen anybody play with pads on, but this is a different offensive line. A lot of the same faces, but different. Do you have any observations of what you've seen out of the offensive line up to this point?
Yeah, I've been encouraged with the play of David Edwards. Edwards is the one guy that's kind of coming in from where he was that jumbo tight end. He'd come in as the extra lineman on plays last year. He's looked the part so far, though, at left guard. He had a great one-on-one rep today against Ed Oliver where he held his own. I've liked the way that he's played, and I think having multiple years of experience under Aaron Cromer benefits him from his time at the Rams. He was another guy that the Bills were able to add last season for pennies on the dollar because injuries. So he comes in. McGovern doesn't have necessarily the athleticism of a Mitch Morse, but he has more size, more physicality, longer wingspan. I think that's going to benefit the Bills. And on the right side of the line, you love everything that Osiris Torrance did as a rookie, was never mentioned, which is what you want as an offensive lineman. Yeah. I think he'll grow in year two. And then obviously Spencer Brown playing for a contract. And oh, by the way, you have an all-pro at left tackle. So I love the starting unit. I think there's a lot of quality depth there as well. You talk Alec Anderson, who came on last season. He is kind of the new Ryan Bates. He can play all five spots on the line, especially the interior, outside in a pinch. You have Van DeMark, who I thought thrived at left tackle last year, showed some struggles at right tackle. If he can be that versatile piece of both spots, he'll be their swing tackle this year. And Then you have guys like Lyle Collins, who have played over 100 NFL games.
Yeah.
Richard Garage, who UDFA last year, but he flashed a little bit. And I could see him pushing a little bit for a roster spot this year as well.
Ryan, if we go back to the wide receivers just for a second, because I have everybody kind of penciled in my mind. And I'm going to include Dalton Kincaid there, too. But the one guy that I'm having difficulty seeing, where does he? Where would the level of production be? Would be the guy that spoke at the podium today, Curtis Samuel. The idea that they used him in the backfield a little bit, the idea that, oh, maybe they use him in end arounds. Is this a guy that just strictly is going to be a gadget third down or just go long type of guy? Or could he actually be the guy in terms of wide receivers that actually leads this team in categories? I can't pin it down right now. What's your opinion on Curtis Samuel?
Yeah, I'm really high on Curtis Samuel. I've been high on him from the time he's come into this league because he can do everything, and he can be a gadget guy for this Bills team, absolutely. So he will get some carries out of the backfield. He'll do some end around, some gadget plays. But I also think you can line him up in the backfield and then have him go out for a pass and have be an absolute mismatch from coming out of the backfield. He can play inside. He can play outside. He has never played with a great quarterback. His best season came under Joe Brady, though, in 2020, where Teddy Bridgewater was throwing him the ball over 800 yards receiving, over 200 yards rushing. Now you give him a Josh Allen. He has this wealth of knowledge. He still has that breakaway speed. I expect big things for Curtis Samuel this year as a receiver. I don't necessarily see him leading in any of those categories because I have Dalton Kincaid having a monster year, receptions, receiving yards, etc. But of the three receivers, he and Khalil Shakir, I think, are going to be right at the top of that list.
What are your overall impressions of the new coordinators? I mean, we heard from Babich today. We heard from Joe Brady yesterday. It certainly seems like they have two different kind of demeanors, one maybe a little bit more soft-spoken and down to business and a little bit more energy out of Babich. What's your takeaway from what we heard from both of the coordinators?
Yeah, Babich is high energy. When I was watching the defensive drills, you know, he was funny today. He said, I don't know what to do with my hands, kind of like, I don't know what to do when I, in terms of going from position to position. You saw him going from D-line, linebacker,
yeah,
secondary. And if he didn't like the pace of something, he let them know it, and he was vocal about it. And you could see them respond. This wasn't something where they kind of shrug it off. They're listening to this guy. They love this guy. So high energy. In terms of Joe Brady, you know, Joe Brady has earned the respect of this Bills offense in terms of especially the guys that are returning this year. He came in, quarterbacks coach was the expectation. He becomes the interim OC where that's not even his system. And all of a sudden, you see him scheme up some more layups for Josh Allen. You see the team scoring the ball, protecting the ball better than ever before last season. So now he's implementing his own offense, his own scheme. Allen loves him. You saw how Khalil Shakir took off at the end of the season. Dalton Kincaid. I really think that both guys, despite having different personalities, have the full attention of their rosters.
We are talking to Ryan Talbot, NewYorkUpstate.com. They were really putting an emphasis on this in the first few practices. The special teams kickoff play, Ryan, like your thoughts on this. I don't know what to make of this either. Like, what is this going to be overhyped, or is this going to be changing the way we watch football here? Like, not knowing that we might have a big play being broken at any point.
You know, I'm a junkie for football, so I was watching the XFL a few years ago when they first implemented this, and now it's the UFL. I like it for the player safety perspective, but you do also get more opportunities for returns and big plays. It gives that returner an opportunity to get the ball in his hands, and then everyone else starts moving. And, you know, you start to wonder in your head, who would be the best back there? Is it a wide receiver like a KJ Hamler, or is it a running back that's used to those close spaces and having to move around as soon as he gets that ball a few yards downfield? So I think it's going to definitely help the game in terms of bigger plays in the return game. For the Bills, I'm really interested to see, though, how they work this in terms of who ends up as that kick returner, and how do they do the kickoffs? Do they loft them up higher in the air? There's a lot to it, and it's not just kick the ball to the guy and wait. There's a lot that goes into it from the coaching perspective as well that I'm interested to see how it all unfolds.
Ryan, a lot has been made this offseason and early on in camp about the Bills losing a lot of their leadership, a lot of captains from last year no longer on the team, and people kind of hone their sights squarely on Josh Allen. We know the kind of personality Josh Allen has shown through the course of his career in the NFL. People will call him a golden retriever. He's a fun guy. He wants to be everybody's buddy. He's going to make jokes. He's got a big personality. Does he have it in him to take that personality and turn it into a leadership role where he is the dude? Yeah. He is the guy, and might have to get in somebody's face from time to time. I don't know that that's in him, but what are your thoughts on Josh Allen kind of taking on this larger leadership role with the Buffalo Bills?
I could absolutely see it. And, you know, Keon Coleman said something at his presser today about, yeah, he's a fun-loving guy, but when it comes time to get down to business, he gets down to business. And he had the throwing of the reps with the wide receivers and the tight ends and some of the backs before training camp started, and he kind of ran that. No coaches there. He took control of that matter. And I think the first thing in terms of being a better leader is recognizing that you might have to make some changes. And to Allen's credit, he said, you know, the way I've led before, I might have to do some things a little bit differently going forward, and taking ownership of that, saying maybe that being playful all the time isn't the way to go about it. Not that he's always playful, but I think that when he needs to be a leader this year on the sidelines, not necessarily get in someone's face, but let them know if they made a mistake in terms of what they need to do to correct it going forward, he'll do that, whether it's an O lineman, wide receiver, tight end, running back, because they all respect him and they know that he wants this team to win a Lombardi trophy and hoist that here and go on a large parade in Buffalo and Western New York.
Yeah, Ryan, I'd be remiss if I didn't get your thoughts here on what we saw at the end of practice today with Kim Pegula coming out and helping to break the huddle. And personally for me, it's mixed emotions. I love the fact that she was walking out there with her husband, but it's also kind of a way sad. I mean, it's kind of your thoughts there on what you saw today.
Yeah, it was a special moment for sure, though, nonetheless, because you know, she's been at practices before, but it's been inside the vehicle. Seeing her out, seeing her walking, seeing her put her hand up for the 1-2-3 Bills there at the end of the practice, that's pretty special because it shows how far she's come since having the cardiac arrest in June of 2022, I believe. So it's great from that perspective to see that she has made such strides and gains. Just like Deion Dawkins said to them, that's still Mama Bear. They still love her. Obviously, it's not the same, but it's so great to see her out here at practice.
Ryan, we know you've got a lot planned for your weekend in Rochester. Practice resumes on Sunday. And you and Matt have a special coming up here as well in town, a live podcast. So why don't you tell everybody that's listening now about what you guys got coming up with the Shout podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'll be back this Sunday, but the following Sunday, August 4th, we will be having a live show where Wing Nuts is coming out. We did it last year. Outstanding event. We sold over 1,600 wings at Dorado.
Ran out of wings. Yes.
They actually ran to Wegmans to buy some other wings to throw in the fryers, not the kind that they usually order, but Dorado is a fantastic host for us. Great Mexican food, great drink specials. So if you want some Mexican food, come on out. If you want some Wing Nuts, want to try that here in Rochester, join us August 4th. Event starts at 3. Pod will probably start around 4. It's a great time. Don't miss it, Bills fans.
Yeah, and so the practice, I want to say, will be wrapping up there around 2-ish that day. So 3 till when then, Ryan?
Oof. Well, for me, until probably around 7, because I have to make the drive back to Olean, New York. But, you know, for Bills fans, as long as you want that party to go, make sure you join us. You won't regret it.
Well, yeah, we know you guys are going to step up big, and that'll be a home run, we're sure. Knowing how successful it was last year, you're doing it on a Sunday this year, Park Ave, on a nice summer afternoon. You guys are going to be just fine. So continued success with the podcast. Thank you so much for giving us some of your time today, Ryan. Really appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure, guys. Always a great time.
Ryan Talbot, NewYorkUpstate.com is where you can read his work and, of course, hear him on the Shout podcast with Matt Parrino. We have Parrino on Tuesday, yes?
Tuesday, yes.
Tuesday, Matt Parrino makes his regular visit with us.
Live with us, yes.
Very good. All right, we're going to take a break here. We're going to come back. If you missed our conversation with Buffalo Bills defensive tackle Daquan Jones, we'll have that for you. And we have time for your calls if you want to pull up a stool and join us. 585-866-4326, 866-4FAN.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. 95.7 FM and AM 950. The Fan Rochester.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.